Welcome to the Nationwide Gospel Meeting Call, our May 2020, 20 days, 20 preachers, 20 soul-saving sermons. This is Brother Anthony Flunder with the Church of Christ at Manhattan Heights, co-host of this Nationwide Gospel effort. Before we begin, let us all bow in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for this day and for this opportunity you've given us to be able to share your message of salvation to a lost and dying world. We pray, Lord, for those who have joined us, that they search your scriptures as the preacher will lay those texts that will be able to convince them of those things your divine word of truth says. We pray, Lord, that Brother Brooks have a ready recollection of those things he is studying. We pray, Lord, that perhaps someone is on this evening who will hear something that will prick their hearts, that will make them inquire further as to what is required for their salvation. Lord, we ask for the continued success of this nationwide effort. We pray, Lord, that we may be able to reach many souls in many different states and many cities all across our globe. We ask this prayer that you be with us and guide us. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. Once again, this is Brother Anthony Flunder, who is the co-host of the Nationwide Gospel Call. Brother Tommy Brooks is the host minister, and the Highland Heights Church of Christ is its sponsor. We appreciate everything you have done to support this call this week. We've had a great number of callers every single day. But the design of this Nationwide Gospel Meeting Call is geared toward non-believers. We put this meeting call on with you in mind. We believe that the most important information that you will ever hear in your life is the gospel message of salvation that God has given us through His Son, Jesus. We ask that you have pen and paper with you to be able to take notes on everything Brother Brooks is going to say. He is going to implore you that you fact check everything he preaches, because we will be able to prove that what he says is thus said the Lord and can be found in the words of Scripture, the Holy Bible. We believe that the Bible is right and every word of the Bible is right. At this time, without further ado, our speaker this evening is the host minister of the Nationwide Gospel Meeting Call and preacher for the Church of Christ of Highland Heights in Houston, Texas, Brother Tommy Brooks, speaking from the topic, the truth about the gospel. This time, Brother Tommy Brooks.
Thank you, Brother Flunder. Again, I want to thank you, everyone who on the call. Thank you for your support. And to those who are not members of the Church of Christ, even though you may believe in Jesus, you're not a member of the Church of Christ, we do want you to know that we put this call on with you in mind. Many people today believe they're saved, and they'll find out that they're not if they would read the Bible. Tonight, I want to talk about something called the truth about the gospel, because there are many, many gospels out there, but what is the true gospel? In Galatians chapter 1 and verse number 1, Paul writes, "Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead." Paul starts this epistle by declaring his apostleship, that it did not come of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father. This must be emphasized today in the world we live in, that the letters from the apostles were words given by God. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy 3:16 that all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. And Jesus said in John 16:13, "Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will call you into all truth." Peter writes in 2 Peter 1:20-21, that no prophecy of the scripture is of a private interpretation. This prophecy didn't come in the old time by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. If one is going to establish a firm belief, they must believe, number one, that this book is not from some man, it's not some fiction, but it is a book from God to man, and there's good news in it about saving the soul of those of us who are sinners known all over the world. You will have a problem with the words of the Bible if you think it came from men and not God. If you don't believe that the Bible is right, it will not help you. This book, I say B-I-B-L-E, means
believers' instructions before life ends. If somebody say they believe in Jesus, then the only reason you can believe in Jesus hung on the cross is that you believe this book. You never saw it with your own eyes. Don't say you believe in Jesus, but you don't believe in other things in this book called the Bible, because then you're saying that you really don't believe in Jesus, because you don't know where your belief came from. Let me go right along here. Paul says to this congregation up front, "For what is about to write is not from men." So who is it from, Paul? Paul says, "From Jesus Christ and God the Father." Paul then goes on to write in verse 2 of Galatians 1, "And all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." Then verse 6, where he says, "I marvel," here's where I want to be tonight, "I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ." Notice he says, "unto another gospel." Paul was marveled, astonished, even amazed that these brethren were removed and had left him, that called them to the grace of Christ, unto another gospel. Then he goes on in verse 7, "And I'm standing with him tonight, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert, turn away from the gospel of Christ." Paul says, "But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed." And as he said before, Paul has to repeat it. He says, "So I say now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed." My friends, family, and loved ones, man has perverted. They have turned away from the true gospel. And then they were turned away then, and they are still turning away and perverting it today. It is amazing that so many have moved from the gospel, the true gospel, to another gospel. Who perverts the gospel? Who perverts the true gospel? Paul states men and women who are false teachers. As Christians, those who are true believers in the Bible, we believe that the Bible has complete authority from God, and we are not to accept another gospel, even if angels preach it. What is this gospel that they were preaching, that Paul was preaching? Paul wrote about it when he told the Corinthian church about the gospel in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 1. The gospel, in fact, he tells them exactly what he said. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1, he says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel," which, notice, the gospel, T-H-E, the one gospel, "which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain." Verse 3, now he said, here's what I delivered to you when I preached the gospel. "I delivered you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ," here it is, here comes the true gospel, "that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scripture." The gospel is the story of God's love for mankind. The good news is that Jesus died for our sins, and the only way you're going to know how he did it is read the scripture. Paul said, told this Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. He went back. Let's go back to chapter 1 and verse 12 now. He said, "Now this I say." Before he told them this in chapter 15, he said this to them in chapter 1. He said, "This I say, that every one of you said, I am of Paul, and I am of Apollos, I am of Cephas, and I of Christ." Paul asked them, "Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul?" He said, "I thank God that I baptized none of you." but Crispus and Gaius. Now, I'm going to just drop this to you. I preach a whole lot of sermons, but I very seldom baptize anybody myself. But I do preach baptism. Paul was preaching baptism. Somebody else can do the baptizing. That's okay with me. But long as they go to the water. Amen, amen. Lest any should say that I had baptized in my own name. Paul said, I baptize also the household of Stephanus. Besides, I know not when I baptized any other. Paul said, I don't know who all I baptized there when I came, but I know Christ sent me not to baptize myself, but to preach the gospel. There it is again. God sent him to Corinth to preach the gospel, not with visible word. We don't have to get fancy with this thing. You don't have to have a PhD to know this simple gospel message. You don't have to go to a seminary, a school of some sort. You just got to believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross. Notice what Paul said, to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of word, lest the cross of Christ. Catch this now, don't miss this. Lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For verse 18, here I am. Here come the preaching of the gospel. The preaching of the cross to them that perish foolishness. But to us which are saved, it is the power of God. Where does this gospel good news come from? It comes from the word of God. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God. Jesus told us in Mark 16:15 and verse through 15 and 16 to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth, notice he says, and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Now here's the good news. He said, preach the gospel, which is glad tidings of good news. What is the good news? The good news is a story of a father who loved the sinner man, that he gave his only son. The story of the gospel has to do with a savior who would hang and be executed on a cross, and the world needs to know that God gave his child, and his child hung on that cross, and we ought to be sad about it. It ought to sorrow our hearts. We were not worthy of that type of a death, an execution. It was an execution by crucifixion, but God commended his love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ would die on that cross. And Jesus gets up and said, go tell them the good news that I did it. I died for them. The word of God by itself got some bad news in it. For example, Revelation 20 and verse 15, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That's not good news. The good news is that Jesus died on the cross and suffered and shed his blood so you wouldn't have to die. You wouldn't have to die in your sins. Jesus said, I tell your name, except you repent, you're going to perish. You don't have to perish. There's good news. Good news of the gospel includes the crucified Savior on the cross of Calvary. God warned men not to add to his words or take it from it. So what is this gospel must be preached? It's the facts of the gospel, the facts of Jesus hanging on that cross and what he went through. That's how God calls us to him. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. John 12:32 and John 3:14. He said, that whosoever believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Should not perish, but have eternal life. Verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish. That's good news. You should not perish. If you believe God sent his son to die for you, you should have everlasting life. Now, Franklin Graham put in that verse that right there, shall not perish. That's because he wants you to just think all you got to do is pray a sinner's prayer or just believe. But I'm telling you, it's more to it. You got to believe not only that Jesus came, not only that he died on the cross, you got to believe that this book has the answer on what you must do to be saved. The Bible says, 2 Thessalonians 2:14, Paul says unto the Thessalonians, whereunto he called you by our gospel. When we hang Jesus on the cross, every Sunday we hang him up there. We have a memorial service. It puts us in a state of mourning. It is better. Our hearts are made better It is better to go to the house of mourning than the house of feasting, Ecclesiastes chapter 7. So when we think of God's love, when we think of Jesus dying on that cross, when we think of how bad he was beaten and brutally murdered on the cross, it should took us in a state of sorrow, and we should do like the people did on the day of Pentecost. They say, men and brothers, what shall we do? Paul, Peter had told them, y'all killed him. Y'all killed him. Y'all walked by and seen him hanging on the cross. It was on a hill far away. Stood an old rugged cross. It was an emblem of suffering and shame. And on that cross, the Jews saw him hanging. But miracles have never seen him. We telling you tonight, I'm telling you according to the scripture, he hung on that cross. Many false preachers and many false televangelists are teaching false doctrine. They're telling people all they got to do is call on the name of the Lord. All they got to do is accept Jesus as personal Savior. That's not what Jesus said do. Jesus said in Mark 16, 15, and 16, go into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That's what he said. What must be preached? The gospel. The crucified Savior on a cross in Jerusalem in AD 33. And people must believe it, not because they've seen it. Faith or belief coming by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's why Paul says he died for our sins according to the scripture. No one can call on the name of the Lord until they've been buried with him in baptism. Paul said in Romans chapter 6, Romans chapter 1, and verse number 15, 16, he says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. In Romans chapter 6, he said, what shall we say to you? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid, he says in verse 2. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us were baptized? Ain't that what Jesus told them to go tell them? Be baptized? He said when you're baptized into Jesus Christ, you're baptized into his death. So your sinner, the old sinner man, must die. Therefore we are buried. You must bury that sinner with Christ by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Watch this now. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. See, there's a crucifixion necessary for the sinner man, that the body of sin may be destroyed. Henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is freed from sin. So what are you saying, brother? If I had a board, I'd write DBR, death, burial, and resurrection, the story of Christ, death, burial, and resurrection. Baptism is a death, burial, and resurrection to the new life. Let me tell you something. The good news is that you have a chance to resurrect to a new life. Let me say this to us. The Apostle Paul was called the chief of sinners. He was down praying. I would try to call it the sinner's prayer, if you will. He was praying, but God sent a preacher to him called a gospel preacher named Ananias. And one Ananias, a devout man, Acts 22:12, according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews who dwelt there, came unto me, Paul says, and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. In the same hour I looked up on him, and he said, the God our fathers had chosen thee that thou shouldest know his will and see that just one and should hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. In verse 16, and now why tarry? He said, what are you doing still praying? Arise, get up, be baptized, because that's what Christ commanded, and wash away your sin. Watch this now, calling on the name of the Lord. See, Franklin Graham is telling you to call before baptism. The scripture is saying it's in baptism where your sins are washed away, Acts 2:38, baptism for the remission of sins, Revelation 1:5, the blood of Jesus washes away sins. It's in baptism where the old man contacts the saving blood of Jesus, and the blood washes away his or her sins, and then they can pray. Then they can call on the Lord. That's when you can say, our Father who art in heaven, because you are a child of God like Jesus was. He was the only son. He had a death, burial, and resurrection. and you too must have a death, burial, and resurrection. There are 3,000 people on the day of Pentecost. They asked Peter what to do. He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you. 3,000 was added unto them that same day. What are you saying, Brother Brooke? I'm saying this, that the perverted gospel, men have left this simple plan of just preaching God's Son on the cross. You realize what happened to him? What happened to Jesus? God sent him to the world. He lived among men about 33 years. The last 24 hours of his life, he was on death row. I want you to go there with me just for a second. He had his last supper, according to Mark, in Mark 14, 22 through 26, a Passover meal with his disciples. He left there, according to Mark 14, and went to the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus prayed to his Father to let this cup pass three times. And he said, not my will, but your will be done. After he left the garden, Judas, one of his own disciples, betrayed him with a kiss. After that, he went to a trial before Annas. After that, he went to a trial number two before the Jewish high priest in Caiaphas and the Sanhedrin court. Jesus was bloodied by abuse in that trial. And then he was imprisoned at Caiaphas' palace. Trial number three, Jesus, the Son of God, stood before the Jewish elders, including the high priest tribes and the whole Sanhedrin, and they decided to send him to the Roman governor called Pilate. He went before Pilate in trial number four of his last night, of his last life, night, hours of his life. He stood before Pilate, and Pilate, the governor, said, times, I find no fault with this man. Why? There was no fault with him. He had done no wrong. He had done no wrong. He was Jesus the Christ. Then in trial number five, he went back to Herod Antipas, the son of Herod the Great, who had jurisdiction over Galilee. Jesus refused to answer any of his questions, and he returned him back to Pilate. Trial number six, Pilate repeatedly tried to get the people to let him release Jesus, but the Jewish leaders continued to object to releasing Jesus. Pilate, trying to please the people, he physically tortured Jesus. He hit him, and Americans don't know nothing about this, but they call it scourging. And scourging is when you take a whip. They called it the cat of nine tails. It had mellow bones and fragments. They take the prisoner, strip him naked, tie him to a pole, and they would hit him with this whip. And when it wrapped around his body and they released it, it left stripes. And by his stripes, oh, we healed, came from the blood, Isaiah 53. It was from the whipping. Did you know about that? Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they nailed him to the cross? After they beat him, they held him, walked him up. He carried his cross up Calvary's hill. There they drove nails in his hands, wearing a crown of thorns. He gets to the top of the hill. They execute him by crucifixion. The word excruciating comes from the word crucifixion, because crucifixion was a horrible crime. It had pain that was excruciating. He hung there for 6 hours. I want to share the story with you in closing. I want you to go there with me. Since we're in the COVID-19 situation, I want to give you a thought-provoking thought. It's called What If. I want to close with a thought-provoking story that I will entitle What If. What if COVID-19 gets so bad that the number of deaths continue to increase rapidly at an unbelievable pace? Within hours, it seems this disease is coming upon us. It sweeps around our countries all over the world, United States, New York, California, Oregon, Arkansas, Florida, Texas, Oklahoma, Massachusetts. Doctors and scientists are working around the clock. This thing is killing everybody. They're trying to find an antidote and a vaccine. It is, though, it's sweeping as a silent killer all over the world with no hope of cure in sight. Unless we get a vaccine, our families will soon be exposed and infected and die. And then all of a sudden the news comes out, y'all. The code has been broken. The doctors and scientists say we got a cure to be found. A vaccine can be made. However, it's going to take a rare blood of somebody who hasn't been infected. And so, sure enough, all over the world, through all the channels of emergency broadcasting, everyone is ask to do one simple thing. Go to your local hospital, local blood bank, have your blood taken. That's all they're asking all of us to do. We ask everyone, every family, take your children, your family members. We're looking for one type of blood. Go to the closest hospital. Sure enough, all of us will go because we're going to die. This thing is rapidly killing everybody. When you and your family get down there late on that day, there's a long line. People, the nurses and doctors are out pricking fingers and taking blood and putting labels on it. Your wife and your kids are there, and they take your blood type, and they say, wait here in the parking lot. And if we call your name, you can be dismissed and go home. You stand around scared. Think about it. You're scared, with your neighbors are afraid, wondering what in the world is going on. Is this the end of the world? Is this the Spirit of God? All TV stations are waiting for the announcement from somewhere in the world. Suddenly, a young man at the hospital you're at, now you go there and be the parent. He runs out of the hospital screaming. He's yelling a name and waving a clipboard. What? He yells it again, and your son is standing by you. Your only son is standing by. He tugs on your jacket and says, Daddy, that's me. Before you know it, they grab up your son. And you say, wait a minute, hold it. They say, it's okay, sir. His blood is the rare blood. His blood is pure. We have to make sure he doesn't have it. We have to make sure he didn't have the disease. He has the right type of blood. 5 tenths minutes later, out come the doctors and nurses crying and hugging one another. Some were laughing. It's the first time you've seen anybody laugh. The world is screaming all over the world. TV show announcers are announcing, we've got the child. There's a doctor to come out to you. He walks up to you and says, thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. Your blood type, your son's blood type is perfect. It's clean. It's pure. And we can make the vaccine. As the word begins to spread all over the parking lot, full of folks, people are screaming and hugging and praying and laughing and crying. News reporters are broadcasting all over the world. Then the gray-haired doctor pulls you and your wife aside and says, may we see you for a moment? We didn't realize that the donor of the blood would be a minor and a child, and we need you to sign a consent. You begin to sign, and then you see the number of pints of blood that will be taken, will take all of your son's blood, and then you add, how many pints? And that it is when the doctor says, oh, we're sorry. You see, we had no idea it would be a child. We need all of his blood. But you don't understand. We're talking about the world needs him. But that's our child. But the doctor, but the world is going to die. Your child, we need all of your blood. Please sign. We need it all. We need it all. But you ask, can't you give him a transfusion? If we had clean blood, we would. There's no other blood that could stop this disease but your son. Would you sign? Could you sign? In numb silence, you think, I got to sign this consent. You say to the doctor, okay, I'll sign, but under one condition. The doctor says, whatever you ask, sir, tell the people of the world that's listening that this is our only son. And you remember to write a law, a book of laws that says to the world that our son, we never want you to forget his name. We want you to remember him on the day that he gave his blood, which is the first day of the week. Today is Sunday. We want this to be the memorial, and we want the world, everybody, to be told of the love we had for them and the love our son had for them. And we want them to this story to always be told. The doctor agrees, and he broadcasts it all over the world by major TV stations. Then old doctor says, we must hurry. So you sign, and the medical staff put the IV in your son's son. Start taking the blood shortly after that. The doctor says, would you like to have a moment with your son before we begin? Can you walk back? Can you leave that room where he lays on the table looking at you with tears and says, Daddy, Mama, what's going on? I'm asking every father on this call, could you take your son's hand and say, son, your mom and I love you. We would never let anything happen to you that didn't just have to be. You are the only hope to save the world of people dying from COVID-19 disease. We love you. We love the people of the world. Do you understand that, son? Your son asking to your dad, let this cup pass. Do I have to do this? You say, yes, son. He says, okay, dad, if it's your will, I'll do it. Then I will carry out your will. And at that time, the old doctor comes back in and says, I'm sorry, we've got to get started. People all over the world are dying. Can you leave? My question to you, to the fathers and mothers of this audience, could you walk out while your son would say to you, my God, father, daddy, why are you forsaking me? And you watch your son die as they take the last drip of blood. And then the next week, the next Sunday, ceremony Sunday, the day you ask them to honor your son, son say, I know it. I know your son's name was this. There ain't nothing in the name. Why we got to remember him every Sunday? Wouldn't it be once a month? Isn't that enough? Why would we have to go to a building with your son's name on it? Why would we have to do exactly what you told us? And people would go fishing. And men would stand in pulpits and say something other than what you told them to tell them. They say, just stay at the house and pray. And they forget to tell the good news is that you love them and you gave your only son. My question to the listening audience tonight, what if it was your son? Would you want men like me telling the story? Would you want me making fun of it? Or you want me to tell them that your degree of love was like God, the Father who so loved the world that he gave his only son, and that was his love, and that father watched them execute his child on an old rugged cross in Jerusalem. He wrote the law on the Bible. And that son got up from the grave, and he said, go into all the world, tell them this good news. He that believeth and baptized shall be saved. Who gonna believe this report? What is the report? That Jesus suffered on the cross. The good news to the sinner is that that's how much God the Father loved you. And that's how much his son loved you. This is why I preach the cross. Because men and women need to know that this father saw the travail of his son, who was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and before shears know, he opened not his mouth. That is the good news called the gospel. If you're on the call tonight, you're not a member of the Church of Christ. You've been baptized before, you're not a member of the Church of Christ. You're still not saved. You must hear this gospel, this good news. Just believe it. Acts 15 and verse 7. You must believe with all of your heart. Repent of your sins. Confess Jesus before men that you believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And be baptized, washed in the blood of the Lamb, and then the Lord would add you to the only church you can read about this in the Bible, and the church that wears the Son's name as requested by the Father. I thank you for listening. I hope you'll obey the gospel and be saved tonight. I turn you back your hand to Brother Funder.
Thank you, Brother Brooks. We appreciate that message immensely. You heard from Tommy Brooks speaking from the subject, the truth about the gospel. He has given us what thus said the Lord. It was the writer James who said in James 1, chapter 21, to wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. We appreciate Brother Brooks for that message. One thing I want to add is that when you are baptized, the Lord adds you to his church. And there's only one church that God the Father has ever authorized from heaven, and he gave that building permit to his son, and that church is the Church of Christ. If you have a desire to be baptized this evening, get back in touch with the person who put you on the call, or contact us, and we will make sure we find a congregation that will baptize you this evening. We won't wait till tomorrow. We won't wait till the first of the week. We won't wait till we have enough people to baptize. We believe the Bible teaches that they were baptized the same day. And just as the jailer and his family were baptized the same hour of the night. The Church of Christ is the one church that Jesus died for and purchased with his blood. It is the church that you can read about in the Bible. And it is the church that we are part of on this day. We'd like to ask anyone listening that you continue to share these flyers and let's spread this word that this gospel call meeting is taking place. 20 days, 20 speakers, 20 sermons. This is going to go on for the entire month of May, Monday through Friday, 9 p.m. Central Time. Please share this with someone, your family, your friends or associates, your neighbors. Share it with somebody who has not heard the truth. Of course, if you have any questions about anything that Brother Brooks has shared on this evening, he welcomes your question. He gives an invite to your queries. He can be reached at area code 281, that's 750-2702. These sermons are archived at the HighlandHeightsCoc.net website, and there you can listen to all of our gospel call sermons, but also the sermons from this nationwide gospel meeting call. If you have a question or a comment or just need prayer, send us an email to nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. We want to invite you to use all these avenues we have at our disposal to be able to share this message of salvation. Now, this is the conclusion of our first week of this nationwide gospel meeting call. If you appreciated the brothers who have preached thus far, if you've appreciated the sermons that you've heard this week, let me tell you something. We have a strong lineup next week as well. On next Monday, May 11th, we'll have Brother Horace Stroud, who will be speaking from the subject, The Truth About Baptism. On May the 12th, we'll have Brother Mel Futrell from Birmingham, Alabama, speaking from the topic, The Truth About the One Church. On May the 13th, we'll have Brother Tim Ellaby from Round Rock, Texas, speaking from the subject, The Truth About the Sinner's Prayer. On May the 14th, from South Haven, Mississippi, we'll have Brother Don Blackwell speaking from the topic, The Truth About True Worship. And on May the 15th, from Luling, Texas, we'll have Brother Al Washington speaking from the topic, The Truth About Salvation. Please go tell somebody that the gospel is being preached even in the midst of a global pandemic. God is concerned about your soul. God is concerned about where you will reside in eternity. At this time, I'm going to turn you over to Brother Horace Stroud, Assistant Minister of the Highland Heights Church of Christ. At this time, Brother Stroud.
Thank you, Brother Flounder, and thank you, Brother Tommy Brooks, for so excellently sharing with us what the gospel is, those three facts that we find in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and verses 4. And then it's simplicity. All you have to do is after the word that in verse 3 and verse 4. The Bible says how that, number one, Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. And the second, that he was buried, that's verse number 4. And the third, that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Those are the three facts regarding the gospel. And as Brother Flounder mentioned, no one is a child of God until one is water baptized for the remission of sins, as Paul told the church in Galatians 3 and verse number 27. He says, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And so we've tried this week, the first 5 days, to share with those, our listening audience, that may not be members of the Church of Christ, as Brother Flounder mentioned, there's only one church. Acts 20 and verse 28 lets us know that Christ made a purchase of the church, for the church, but he paid for it with blood, not with money. He shared his blood. Brother Brooks talked about that precious blood on tonight. And so we hope that this has lit your fire. And those of us that each night at 9 o'clock, Monday through Friday, you can add to your spiritual appetite by listening to a word of God that would help you spiritually. Each night, Monday through Friday, for the next 3 weeks, we're going to do this. And we'll ask you to be with us on Monday night as we continue this 20 messages, 20 speakers, 20 nights. We're not trying to see 2020. We're trying to hear 2020. So we walk by faith and not by sight. We thank everybody for being on the call tonight, for setting aside this time period in your lives to hear the Word of God, and for those that are Christians, to support the preaching of the Word of God. We thank you for your efforts, and we thank those that are on the call tonight. If you have any questions, you can reach out to us at Highland Heights Church of Christ. And if you have any questions, especially for those that are not members of the church, you have questions that you want to ask, reach out to us that we can talk directly with you and share with you from the Word of God. As Brother Brooks said, you know, the Bible is those things that one believes of instructions before life ends. You know, and so we hope that you will continue to be with us each night as we continue this great series, and with the lineup Brother Flounder mentioned on tonight. At this time, let us all go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Thank Him for this week and thank Him for this time. Let us pray. Dear most gracious and merciful Heavenly Father, we come before Thee at this time with our heads bowed and our hearts lifted up with thanksgiving. We're thankful for all that have been on the call tonight, those that have supported this gospel meeting. And we pray, dear Lord, a special prayer for those that are not members of the Church of Christ. Our prayers for them, dear Lord, simply is that they will open up their hearts and they will allow the things that are written in your word, the Bible, to instruct them and guide them to be obedient to your will and become Christians as we are, members of the Church of Christ. And so we pray a special prayer for them. We ask them to also ask others, their friends, loved ones, to be with us next week as we continue this gospel series and these messages. And again, we know, according to your word, that Jesus came, Luke 19 and 10, to seek and save that which is lost. And our purpose as a church, members of the Lord's church, is again to seek and save those. And we're using technology to seek those people, to try to have them to understand what your will is for their lives, that they can be obedient. We thank you again for all your blessings. Thank you again for all those on the call tonight. May you have a good night's rest, good weekend. And those that are Christians, prepare your hearts to worship the Lord on Sunday. This prayer we offer in your Son Jesus Christ's name we pray. Let us all say amen.
Thank you, Brother Stroud. We appreciate you immensely. Once again, we wish you a good evening. We ask you, wish you a good weekend, and ask that you join us again on next Monday at 9 p.m. Thank you, and to God be the glory. God bless.